You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now we have Green Party co-leader Matiria Ture. Are you there, Matiria?
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
Kia ora, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. You've had a big week, I'm sure.
It's been a big few weeks, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So, firstly today, this morning, Prime Minister Bill English confirmed that the government is reviewing proposed changes to skilled migrant visas after complaints from businesses in the region. So, basically, how I understand it is that the government had been set to bring in new rules on the 14th of August that would have meant low-skilled migrants would have to leave New Zealand after 3 years, but those changes are being criticised by farmers and fruit growers who often rely on a low-wage, often seasonal labour force. Did the Green Party support those new rules the government was planning to enact?
No, they were very blunt and didn't involve the communities that they talk that are affected, particularly migrant communities, migrant workers and their unions. And so I think it was reactive by government. I mean, and not wise. The thing is, though, that this backtrack is also of concern because the government still isn't doing what it needs to do, which is talk with the people who are most affected by these immigration decisions and think more carefully about what they want to do. There is, there's an argument in some of the regional areas for workers. They have to be really well taken care of. They have to be well remunerated. They need to have decent accommodation and decent support. That's not always the case, and often not the case. So there's a lot more to it than just the numbers, I guess. In Otago recently, there was a drive out in the regional areas of regional Otago. There was a request put out by some community organisations for old bicycles to be given to a community group so that they could fix them and give them to the migrant workers who were on the farms out there because they had no transport from the farms to the local towns. You know, and that's just a really awful way to treat a workforce. You know, you bring people over, they've got generally quite poor accommodation, they're only getting comparatively low wages, and they don't even have access to transport to get into the town. I mean, it's really, some of these workers are being treated really badly and they need better support.
Right, so what do you see as the solution to that then? Just the support, or is it that kind of things in place for low-skilled migrant workers to come over, or only for those 3 years? What do you see as the solution there?
So if there's going to be a skilled migrant category, and there's good reason for it, it needs to be regularly reviewed, and it needs to be reviewed not just with employers and industry and government, but with workers' representation from those migrant workers themselves, from unions, so that it genuinely is a skilled migrant category. If there's other reasons for bringing people in to do work, then again, it has to be part of an overall workforce plan. It can't be just done sort of based on the stated needs or desires of some employers because they want cheap labour. And that's one of the big concerns about it, that's how it's being used. And those workers who come here are coming here because they need the work, but they have the potential to be exploited in the process. We've had large groups of migrant workers who have been exploited by the immigration consultants around their papers. And so, you know, it's just an ongoing problem of a complete lack of oversight over what's really going on for these workers themselves and their families. So the only way to do it is to have proper workforce planning and for this to be part of that, and for the workers themselves and their union representation to be involved in it, because that's the only way to make sure that they are getting good jobs, that the work that needs to be done is being done, and that there's no exploitation in the process.
The Prime Minister also said that we need to prioritise Kiwis getting the jobs when they should. Do you agree?
I think it would be good, but it's also true that people want different kinds of work. So I think there's enough to share around, but I wouldn't want to constrain it solely on the basis that it should be New Zealanders doing the jobs, because I think, again, it's another really blunt tool for what is kind of But Ford is just a human issue. People want to come here and work, particularly people from the Pacific, and we have an obligation to make that possible, I think, to be sharing our work and our resources with our cousins around the Pacific. We also have an obligation to our own people to make sure that there's work for them, and across the board, for all groups of workers, that the work is decent, they have good conditions, they're properly taken care of, and they're being paid properly. And I think kind of the focus on whether or not it's New Zealand or overseas workers distracts from the fact that a lot of this work is being done, it's exploited, and people aren't being paid properly, and there are other bigger workforce issues that aren't being dealt with.
Right. And as we mentioned before, I'm sure you've had a big week after your speech last weekend. What's the response to that been like?
I expected all of the criticism. I mean, it came from the expected places and was the expected kind. I did not expect the degree of support. That's been the single most overwhelming part. The I Am Mitiria hashtag, you know, those people are disclosing what's happening to them at WINS. There's a lot of stories there about people taking their elderly parents in and being treated terribly, people with disabilities being treated with most appalling disrespect, people with kids just trying to be able to get a food grant, getting no luck. It's just been amazing, the stories that have come out. I've been getting a huge amount of email and messages from people who are telling me what happened with them. Stories of one at the moment who has called up to, who desperately needs a food grant, who rang WINS on a Thursday, was told that there was nothing that they could be done about it until Monday, but, you know, she's got her and her child to feed over the weekend, and nobody is prepared to help her. So, you know, it's just what we've done, as personal as it's been, we have exposed to the country what being on a benefit really is like, what it really feels like. And it's really, really important that we all know that, because the welfare system has been so brutally damaged, and people are falling through the cracks everywhere. It has meant that some of the policy stuff hasn't gone through as much as we, you know, might have happened, but I think that that's still to come. Like, for example, the 20% increase that we've proposed to all benefits includes student allowance, and there's more, you know, there's more detail in the policy around what we would do to fix it. But I guess this is the thing. The first thing is to tell the story about why it needs to change, and people have been amazing in sharing their stories.
Yeah, I've seen that I Am Mitiria hashtag. It's kind of been a pretty overwhelming response, I'm sure. I did want to talk to you about that increase in 20% policy. Do you want to just expand on that a little bit and explain that? Because, yeah, it does seem like there has been that reaction to your kind of statement there, rather than the focus on the policy. So, yeah, what does that entail?
What's happening? So the first thing we'll do is have an immediate increase of 20% across all benefits. It doesn't include super, because they are already at 66% of the average wage, but it does include job seeker, sole parent support, supported living, and student allowance. There are real issues, particularly for students, in trying to get access to decent support, and it's a very, very complicated system for students, ridiculously complicated. The best thing we can do is at least improve student incomes, and then from there, we will, once we are in government and have the chance to do this, we'll be looking at simplifying the system considerably so that it's simple, it's sufficient for people to live, and it's individualised, so that people are treated as individuals and not as couples. Some of the other policy includes removing the financial sanction, so the punishment that comes if you miss some of your obligations. For beneficiaries, that's incredibly important, because they risk losing between 50% and 100% of their benefits in a week. And basically, that's the government using poverty as a weapon against the poor, and we're not having that anymore. So we're going to increase the top. We're going to create a new top tax rate. So people who earn over $150,000 will have to pay 40% on their income above that. But we're also cutting tax at the bottom end. So it means that everybody who earns less than $150,000 will get a tax cut of around $200 a year, and that includes, that's everybody, including students. We're also going to fix working for families, because a lot of students will have access to student allowance, and if they have families, kids, they'll be getting family working for families. So we're going to make create a new children's credit out of the in-work tax credit, which students can't get, and we'll make sure that they'll be getting at least $72 a week for the first child, and then subsequent money for any subsequent children. So we're trying really hard to make sure that we can get everybody with kids above the poverty line. We're also going to change the abatement rate so that if a person on the benefit, including a student, works, they'll be able to earn $200 a week before they have an abatement on their benefit or their allowance, and then it will be 30% until $400. So people will be able to earn up to around $340 a week before they start to see any serious erosion of their allowance or benefit. And that's because we know people work, they have to work in order to be able to live, and so they shouldn't be being punished for that either.
And just lastly, I just wanted to quickly touch on the statement you released this morning about what you call National's penal welfare approach to grandparents who raise their grandchildren. What do you mean by that?
Well, the welfare system we have in place is based on a system called penal welfare, which is where welfare beneficiaries are treated as if being poor requires punishment, as if there is something inherently wrong with a person if they are in need of help. And that is why you have a welfare system that is not compassionate, but punishes people. Huge obligations, financial sanctions, penalising you when you work. That is a penal welfare system, and it's in place all around the world, and has been for a few decades. So it happens, you know, we've got a new report out from grandparents who are taking care of their grandkids, because, you know, their own kids, for whatever reason, can't. And these grandparents are saying they turn up to WINS to get the unsupported child allowance. They're not told about it. They're not told they can get it. When they ask for it, they're refused. They're treated really badly by WINS workers. People at WINS don't understand what they're asking for, don't tell them what it is that they're entitled to. I mean, it's just another example of where going to get help is practically impossible because the system is designed to punish you for needing help. And that we have got this, that my whole reason for telling my story and coming out like this is because we have got to stop that. That is completely, it's irrational to have a system that punishes people when they need help. I mean, how do we get here? The fact is, we don't have to be here. We can fix it. It's actually not that expensive. And we should. You know, and come September, we can fix this. We can make a welfare system that actually does help people and treats people with dignity and respect.
Matsuria, thank you so much.
Kia ora.
I'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Great. See you then.
Bye.
That was Matsuria Ture for the Green Party. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.